Sergey Pavlon, what a good guy.
I keep meaning to talk to him about, like, hey, we should do a new song, because I want to do one for, like, when we do Wandering Blade stuff, maybe do an NDNP one. But I don't know how to broach the conversation of, okay, I want to make something that sounds kind of Asian, but I'm going to ask an Italian guy to make an Asian-sounding hip-hop beat for our podcast. I'm not ready to navigate that conversation yet.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. For our audience, if my voice sounds different, it's because I'm ill. I do not have the Rona. I checked the test right now, and it is negative. Nice. Emma watched me shove that thing up my nose.
Yeah, can confirm it went up his nose.
It went up both nostrils. And we're back with the podcast. I don't have COVID, but I might be sick. And I don't think it's because of my trip to Japan, because on the way back, I felt fantastic. I felt fucking amazing. And it was like, on Wednesday at work, we were having a big team meeting and it was ending early. So somebody was like, you know what? We should do a question of the day. Our team is so large right now that we typically don't do this anymore because of, like, it would take forever to go through it. And we get really heated. We'll get invested. Oh my God. Emma, we had like one question where it was like, if you were a centaur, what would the other half be in terms of animals?
Squirrel.
Yeah, obviously that's your answer. But then some people got like incredibly technical about it. And they were like, does it have to be my lower half or can it be my arms? Can I like sacrifice some
50-50?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 50-50 or like could I sacrifice like my boobs and then use that mass for like wings, like tiny wings or something? Oh. Can I like have like is it down the middle? Can I have like the like can my arms be wings instead of like my legs? And it just got needlessly complicated because people were basically finding parts of their body. They're like, what is unnecessary? What can I remove to basically make space for another animal's like
how
parts?
How do I optimize?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, what do you get rid of? And it was just what was like a quick 15-minute question turned into like a 2-hour debate. Yeah, and then we had a question, and it was like one time, and it was like, "Well, what is your favorite sandwich?" And like that's easy.
Except, but people have different definitions of what counts as a sandwich.
Exactly. Like some people have different definitions of like what constitutes a sandwich. Some people were like, "Is the question what is your favorite sandwich in terms of toppings, composition, ingredients, or is the question is it the sandwich of a particular establishment?" But we weren't really thrown off by that question until one of our team members who no longer works at the company gave us the most horrific answer. The most horrific answer. We were all talking about like, oh, you know, I would pick this bread. I like this meat, this cheese. And he was like, I shit you not, Emma. He was like, I want the cold cuts sub at Subway.
Okay.
And he was like, I want like that daily special cold cut sub, the one that's like under $10. After all of us were talking about these, like our gourmet preference for sandwich, this dude straight up was like, I just want the Subway cold cuts combo.
You know?
And the entire team just descended into roasting this guy.
Oh no. But like, he knows what he wants.
And he knows what he wants. But everybody was like so offended that this guy said Subway. Now, mind you, this was also following the coattails of another question of the day from a previous team meeting where it was like, if you had to pick a place to visit on your day off, you can go anywhere in the world, what would it be? You know, like a lot of people like Hobbiton, I want to go to Japan, the Great Wall, you know, the pyramids. And this guy said, I want to go to Windsor. And for like the non-Canadians, the people who aren't from Southern Ontario, like Windsor is basically just like this small town on the border near Detroit. And he was like, I want to go to Windsor. And we were like,
maybe it has like the best subway he's ever been to.
No. We were like, why? And he was like, oh, because there's this water park in Windsor that I like and it's really cheap. And we were like, what? And so we went and looked up this water park. And I have to check again, but when we last looked, this water park, Emma, had like fucking like 1-star reviews on Google. And people were like, this is like the dirtiest place ever. And so, like, riding the coattails of that answer, he gives us Subway cold cuts as his favorite sandwich. And people were like, what is going on? But we, this past week, we decided, you know what, we're going to do a question of the day. And we asked, when was the last time you had a proper belly laugh? Like, you laughed uncontrollably.
Mm.
And, you know, some people were telling, like cute stories. And I was like, you know what? We're not recording this meeting. I'm going to tell a fart story.
Of course, yeah.
And so I told this fart story. And I was laughing saying it, because obviously that, because it was the correct answer for me. If this meeting descended into everyone telling really, really funny stories about bodily functions. And I laughed so hard that I think I like made my, I hurt my throat laughing so hard. And since then, I've had this dry cough. And so I'm going to do my best to mute myself during this recording. And that's also why my voice sounds a little bit different right now. Because again,
so hard because of fart jokes.
I laughed so hard because of fart jokes. And this, you know what? This sounds like an NDMP episode. This is not an episode of No Dice, No Problem. This is an episode of the Asians Represent podcast. And the first one back since obviously my trip to Japan, we wanted to do something a little bit light. We wanted to do something a little bit more casual because, you know, I think we cover a lot of really heavy topics and things are kind of like heavy for people in the world right now. And in our own personal lives, we've all got shit going on. I've got a lot of stuff going on. Unfortunately, like on like the third day of our trip, I found out that an old colleague of mine when I was a teacher had passed when we were gone. And it was a rough feeling because it was like, I felt so helpless. Because it was like, I'm on like the other side of the world. And I found out and they were like, yeah, the funeral is literally tomorrow. I was like, what? And I've been like trying to reach out to my old colleagues to find out like where obviously he's buried and stuff. And that's been like this weird stressor on my life, just like having nobody tell me anything about this. So yeah, we're going to try something a little bit light for this episode of Asians Represent because again, people have a lot of stuff going on. I know, Emma, you've got some stuff regarding day job news that you're kind of waiting on. So we're just going to keep it chill. We're going to talk about Japan. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about Japan. We're going to talk about my trip there. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Japanese TTRPGs because I came back with so many books.
With books, yeah.
I came back with so many books.
At least most of them are small and light.
Yeah, most of them are small and light, but the thing is they take up so much space.
Yeah.
They take up so much space. So we'll talk about that. For those of you who are watching the VOD, whether it be on Patreon or maybe some clips on YouTube, we're dealing with some internet issues. So Emma's video is a little bit, well, Emma looks like she's in like an episode of Reboot right now.
Yeah.
But our audio is great, so we're gonna keep running with it. So obviously, my partner Sarah and I, we were in Japan for about 3 weeks. This was both of our first times in Japan, and God, this was a great trip. It was like a wonderful time. I like full disclosure, Asians Represent didn't cover our trip to Japan. This is actually like I paid for this out of pocket. This is my vacation. Now,
you just ended up making a lot of content and sharing it during the time.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I couldn't turn off my content brain and decided, you know what? I'm going to actually record stuff. And also for us. And and I uploaded a lot of it to Asians Represent in the form of YouTube shorts. So, you know, like stuff from like the Ghibli Museum, Pokemon Cafe, the Grand Sumo Tournament, and all of the really touristy things that we did.
Which is funny because it's a bunch of stuff that I have never done and I've been going to Japan since 2012.
I know. And that's why we're kind of doing this episode because it's like you've been going to Japan for a really long time. Both scholars of Japanese archaeology, although like my materials were excavated, both of our materials were excavated so long ago. I never got to visit the Yagi site.
It's a bunch of garden plots.
It's dirt right now. So, as are all archaeology sites.
Gardens.
But hadn't been so close, been in China so much. But we went to Japan, and literally all the things I did were things that you haven't done, Emma. But
it's like you live in a city for a long time and you don't end up doing any of the tourist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I was going usually to do research and be at specific places by myself. So wandering around to do things was harder or less appealing.
Totally fair. And like we went with, we had these big plans on everything we were going to do. Maybe I'll share like a breakdown of what we did on our Patreon for our show notes. But like we had these plans to do so much, and I think we did like 50% of the things we wanted to do, mostly because like we just had such a good time doing a handful of things. Like we didn't want to rush through the trip. And it was like the first time in years. Like Emma, like years, you've known me for over a decade. Yeah. That I didn't think about work. I didn't think about work the entire time we were in Japan. I thought about like doing Asians Represent stuff, but I wasn't worried about the podcast. I wasn't worried about, you know, like what's going on in our server, obviously, because I trust you folks. And yeah, I didn't think about my day job. I just like really enjoyed being on vacation with my partner. And I haven't had that in so long. So I think that made the trip extra special.
It's great.
On top of that, Japan was surprisingly affordable.
Well.
compared to our expectations.
Yeah, that is something that I've been telling people for a long time. Like once you get there and if you figure out where to go, food is really good and much more affordable than in North America. Hotels
absolutely
have more competition with each other, so their rates tend to be more competitive and better. But flights can be super expensive, so the vast majority of my cost was always flight. And then once I was there, it was fine.
Yeah, I definitely think like the 3 weeks we were there, flights accounted, it was like $1,300 each.
Which is like, really good.
Really good deal, round trip. Hotels.
Usually the best I was getting, I think the cheapest I ever paid was $1,750.
Damn.
Yeah. And so it would be anywhere between that and $2,000, depending on, this is all pre-pandemic. So, you know.
Even more now. Yeah, we got an incredible deal on our flights. And I think it was just luck of the draw, plus the fact that we were going there in the off season, like the tourist off season. We were there in January. So kids are back to school. People are working. It was perfect.
Importantly, you went after New Year's.
After New Year's, 100%.
Otherwise, it would have been a mess.
Yeah, we went after New Year's, and it was everything that I thought it was going to be. Like, language skills got me around enough, but like, we didn't really need that, to be quite honest. I think Japan
in Tokyo,
was so,
yeah.
Yeah, in Tokyo. Japan was just so nice that like, it had everything we wanted. I mean, it had good food. It had history. We can totally find places where it was just calm and peaceful so we can relax. It had all of the nerdy shit that we could possibly want. But it made me so pissed off about North America. Not for political reasons. I was actually showing my partner this. Let me get this. So, okay. So, D&D 5th edition Player's Handbook. I haven't, like, full disclosure, paid or purchased a D&D book in years because I still get stuff sent to me from WotC, but I forgot how much D&D books costed. So I was looking at the price of the Player's Handbook, and the MSRP in Canadian dollars is $58. It's $58 for a Player's Handbook. In Japan, I made a specific like day where we went to Akihabara, and I wanted to go to this store called Yellow Submarine. Now, Yellow Submarine is a chain of like sort of like gaming stores, but they have one store in Akihabara that is specifically for tabletop games, so board games and TRPGs, because I wanted to buy Sword World. And so I got the Sword World core book. Well, actually, I got all three. And they're so small that I could just stick them all in my pocket. They're like, they're tiny. But
yeah,
the Sword World core book, one of them is 900 yen. That's like $8 Canadian for a core book that you could just fit in your pocket. And it's pissed me off so much because I'm like, I just bought the entire set, like basically, you know, the core rules, all of the creatures, everything like that, and advanced rules for a fraction of the cost it takes to buy a player's handbook.
Yeah. And I got the Sword World books years ago. I want to say like 2020. And I ordered them through Amazon Japan.
Yeah.
I don't remember how. Like, you can set up an Amazon Japan account even if you're not in Japan. And some items will ship internationally. It's usually a good chunk to have it shipped. But ultimately, they removed the Japanese tax off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Japan, everything's listed with its tax baked in. You don't add it on after. But if you're ordering internationally, they remove that, but instead charge you a good shipping fee. And so I'm pretty sure I got all three of those books for well below what it would have cost for the player's handbook, even though I didn't go to Japan to get it.
Yeah, it really made me mad. Not only like the size, but also just like the cost of TTRPGs there. And it wasn't just Sword World, like Shinobigami, Call of Cthulhu stuff, all incredibly cheap. I got this beautiful book. This is like a 2022 Sword World 2.5 world guide. It's just like the world guide. And it's just basically their campaign setting. And this thing was, I bought it secondhand. Its list price is 1,200 yen, but I bought this for 400 yen at like a used bookstore. And
is it technically a MOOC? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So a category of publications that exist in Japan that we don't really have here are magazine books.
Oh, no, this one's not.
They're essentially like magazine quality and style, but they're kind of one-off publications like a book, and a lot of them are called MOOCs. And you can get those for gaming things where it's just artwork, explanations, popular table talk, recaps, things like that.
I was looking for those and I couldn't find any. Couldn't find any, at least at these stores. I mean, they had a lot of what looked to be like official supplements, and I know that there are like fan guidebooks and all sorts of stuff. Couldn't find any of that. That's like my goal next time we go. But yeah, I bought like all three Sword World core books. All three of them fit in one hand.
They're so cute.
And it was like so cheap.
And they weigh nothing.
And it's that like digest size. It's really thin paper. And obviously like Japanese like tabletop role-playing games are structured a little bit differently in terms of like how they're published. I mean, there's a lot less art compared to what you see in like Western tabletop role-playing games. There is that heavy emphasis on like replay. So writing out basically a written actual play is like forms a good part of the core book. But I actually really like the format. I've been reading through a fan translation of Sword World because Jeremy and I are going to develop a series of episodes. You are totally invited, Emma, by the way.
Give me the chance to talk about rabbit folk.
Yeah, the Tabbits.
They're so cute.
But yeah, we're gonna do like a whole series of Sword World, kind of talking about character creation, combat, you know, the mechanics that we like, the differences between that and Western TTRPGs. But before we dive into Sword World, because it's actually a lot of material to cover, now I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because I was like, we're going to cover another game before that, and we're going to cover like the Goblin Slayer TRPG, and I sound like a hypocrite because it's like it's really fucking thick. Jeremy and I both ordered copies of these on Amazon because the Goblin Slayer RPG, based on the manga, the anime, the light novels, I think there's a light novel series, is the, to my knowledge, the only Sword World hack that is available officially in English. And so we're going to start with that. And I'm kind of reading both simultaneously to get a sense of, you know, what it takes from Sword World and where it sort of innovates. But I'm really excited for us to talk about that because from what I've seen so far, I actually really want to play Sword World. I don't know if it would be my RPG of choice, but I definitely think I might pick it over D&D.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, we should play Sword World. You could be a rabbit folk. Not like that's ever stopped you in any other game. Yeah. Not like that stopped you any other time. But I think it would be fun to play Sword World. I think the character creation is fairly intuitive. It's really customizable. The system is really streamlined. I like that it uses 2d6, obviously, because like polyhedral dice weren't readily available in Japan when Sword World was being developed. So I like the 2d6 system. And I just want something different. So I'm excited for us to do that.
I think there's also a quick start section where you can randomly create a character by rolling if you don't want to put in the work to make one.
There's like a quick create section. So they have like a really detailed step-by-step create. They have like quick characters and there's like a quick create section.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. I think one thing that's cool about Sword World is that they've really put a lot of effort into making sure people could just go and play it. Whereas when you read a lot of TTRPGs here, they tend to assume a lot of reader experience with the genre. But the Sword World game basically just, it doesn't assume anything about your experience. And it's like, it explains it to you like you're five. It walks you through literally every single thing. So like how to roll a skill check, you know, it's die plus attribute plus equals this. But they explain it in like four paragraphs because it's like, they label everything. Every term is defined. And I actually think like the way it's laid out is really good for beginners, people who have never played a TTRPG. I know you are more of a recent TTRPG player, but like, you know, we've talked about Powered by the Apocalypse games and Drew and I talked about how, you know, PBTA is definitely not an intro game from a systems perspective. It's too fluid. It's really hard for people because it lacks a lot of structure. Sword World has so much structure in how it's published and how the rules are presented to you. I really like it. And I'm sad that it's not available in English officially.
Yeah. And we'll see if it ever does. Have you ever looked up the original cover for the first version of
Sword World? So cool.
It's so good. I love it.
I mean, all of the old Sword World art is really awesome. Oh, excuse me while I cough. Yeah, all the art is incredible. And it's just refreshing. But in general, Japan was refreshing. I got all of these Sword World books and all of this like manga and stuff like 4 days into our trip and had to carry it around like the entire 3 weeks. It was a mistake.
See, I always load up on little like trinkets and random bits of stuff and then try and determine how much room I have for books and magazines and things after.
That happened. Like Sarah loves Gashapon and like literally anytime we saw one, she'd be like, okay. And we had to look at every single one and we came back with so much.
What I love is that that's just what people do.
It's just everywhere.
Of all ages too. Like people just walking through those arcade areas, just looking at the things. Cause I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to take my time and decide what I'm going to pick because I will also get a bunch of those things. I love them.
We looked at, I think we looked at so much Gashapon that we saw every single one being made. We were like, I've seen this one like five times now. I think I've seen all of the Bandai ones. The funniest one, we were at Sensoji, like a temple in Asakusa, and we just saw this random rundown Gashapon machine. It was like sun bleached, like the plastic was sun bleached and everything. And it was just these little cardboard cutouts of Naruto characters crying.
I love it.
It was literally just like, you know, art from the manga, but it's like all of the core characters and they're all just like weeping. And that was just it. And it was like 300 yen or something, like $3. Yeah. And Sarah was like, okay, I'm just going to get them. And we got like a Sakura, got a Naruto. But it's just like literally a square piece of cardboard. It's just Naruto crying. It's the most random shit. I do regret not buying one. There was this, I don't know why I didn't, but there was this one and it was, they were monsters, like Asian dragons and other weird things. But they were all made of tempura. It was all tempura vegetable monsters. And I really regret not getting one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just so much to do, so much to see, so much to buy in Japan. It was great. I actually had a scare after. I went and checked my time off on our like HR portal on my day job. And I have I have negative time off now.
Well, makes sense.
even though I used time from last year for this trip, I have negative time off. And I had to I had to figure out stuff for Breakout Con. Let's just say that. I have to figure out stuff for Breakout Con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My teaching schedule makes it so I don't have to worry.
Yeah. But I got it all figured out. Breakout Con's going to be great. A whole bunch of Asians rep people are going to be there. Folks that, we know from Discord server. I'm really excited. We're gonna play a ton of games. Breakout Con. I didn't submit a lot because I didn't volunteer to do as many panels or anything because I knew that I was just going to run ad hoc stuff with Asians rep people. Like we've got our usual Clayorama, which is now just going to be an Asians rep con thing.
So funny.
But we're going to do like Wandering Blades. I know we're going to play the 30 minute missions thing with Marcus is going to be a lot of fun. To continue the 2024, my goal of 2024 is just to play more games and just be a lot more relaxed and not stress as much. Started the year off strong.
There will be magic.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be magic. I'm gonna certainly try to get people to play Flesh and Blood. So if you're gonna be at Breakout Con and you play Flesh and Blood, hit me up. I would love to play. If not, and you'd like to learn, I will teach you because I love teaching people about the things that I'm passionate about. I think that's everyone on Asians Rep.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of which, you have that, you started putting out your first solo piece of content.
It is not yet a series. It is a singular event, but yeah, I'm already thinking about the next one because the idea was to do one a month.
And yeah, we're on track.
Spaced out, yeah.
Yeah, we're on track. I know your plans kind of changed for the second one.
Yeah. And also in general, the series changed when I went from being unemployed to very much still underemployed, but working. You know what I mean, everyone? But yeah, I have a long list of terms that have either been used in episodes and people have asked us to clarify, or ones that I think would just be useful for people to process things or even just understand some of the identity and race stuff that goes on in general.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to this conversation you and I had a while back, and it was like we when folks would engage with us on social media, they would ask like, oh, what's this? And we'd be like, well, you can listen to this episode of the podcast. And the response is, I don't have time to listen to a 2-hour episode. Just tell me what this thing is. I'm like you're asking for this like intellectual and emotional labor. We've done it for you already for free in long form. So you don't have to ask these questions. But then folks would be like, oh, 2 hours is too long. 1 hour is too long. And so you and I kind of talked about how we would solve this.
I will say it's fair, but also, as an educator and an academic, I'm like, you want me to drop definitions? Oh boy.
And so we have a new series on our YouTube channel. We're saying series, even though there's only one, but there will be another one next month. Unofficially called Words Are Hard.
Because they are. And I say that all the time to my students and to just people I see randomly in public.
And I hope you include Words Are Hard in the sort of like introduction to every video.
Oh, it's going to, because I'm going to introduce myself in the concept every time, but yeah.
And I believe the playlist on our YouTube channel is called Words Are Hard.
That's all I want.
And if it's not, I'll have to go fix that.
I'm like, I don't know. First of all, hard. hard. Second of all, words are hard.
Yeah, and honestly, it is a great video on Orientalism, something that we've talked about at length for hours on end.
And it's honestly the one that we get asked about the most, like, what does that mean? And also, like, oh, you see the word used in, like, flavorings and soups. What's wrong with the word Oriental? It's like, let me just make a thing.
Let me make an 11-minute video to tell you why. And so we have that now.
I tried to make it 10, but that didn't happen.
Oh, I had to talk for at least one more minute.
It's a hard... Some of them will be shorter, but that one, you know, it takes some time. And it's not even going to be the last one, because there are now, since, like, the foundations of Saeed's work is so important because it influences everything. But then now we're seeing it appear in different kind of places and modes, especially from the North American context when, like I said in that video, in Europe, the Orient meant certain things. In North America, the Orient largely applies to East Asia and parts of Southeast Asia. So it's a very different set of things going on. And I'm jazzed to do one on techno-orientalism.
Oh, hell yeah.
And, like, cyberpunk stuff. But also been reading a book all about ludo-orientalism and how games are fundamentally orientalist in some ways.
What's ludo-orientalism?
It's all about how game mechanics and worlds and some of the premise of games themselves enact parts of orientalism by creating another and
interesting
letting people play out some of that colonialist stuff in quote-unquote fantasy worlds. But like I said, I'm still reading about it and seeing how it's applied, but I think that might be worth bringing in.
I mean, I'm already down. I look forward to editing that so I can just learn about it. I did have a book in my Amazon cart a while back on techno-orientalism. I forget who it was by. It's got a robot on the cover.
It's a collective volume. It's a bunch of authors working on the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have bought that. Maybe I will now.
I have a copy if you just want to borrow.
Yeah, you might not get it back. I think
it'll save you some money.
I've bought a lot of books on your recommendation. I have one, The Chinese Diaspora, Archaeology in North America. I bought that one because of you. That was a great book.
It's a great book.
And recently bought some game design books just so I can kind of, you know, brush up on my skills, because now we're back to doing Wandering Blades and I want to make it the best game we can possibly make it. But that said, like, enough about, like, we talk about Wandering Blades enough. NDMP is just a Wandering Blades show now. I'm really happy that you're doing this.
Episodes for the main podcast too.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do it without Drew.
Yeah.
I'm just super hyped that you're doing those videos, because I think, like, I learn a lot. I know the audience will really benefit from that. I believe by the time this episode goes live on our podcast feed, that the audio from the Orientalism video will also be on our podcast feed. But if you're watching us live now, it is not there yet. Because I don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. Emma sent me the audio and I just haven't put it up yet. Maybe because I don't know, I've got stuff going on.
Well, we also never intended for it to be put on just audio initially, because the outline was that I was making quick YouTube videos. And I promise that quick means 5 to 10 minutes for the most part.
But you did it in 11 minutes.
And I, you know, so close. First attempt. And so that's probably why neither of us were thinking, like, let's do this and post that. But now it'll happen.
Yes, now it'll happen because of a suggestion from our community. And again, like, we listen to you folks. If you have any suggestions or there are things you want to see, we got you. We got you. Within reason, we're going to try our best. One of the things, like, I had a lot of fun doing was just YouTube shorts, just, like, making stuff. Like, I was like, Sarah, I guess we have to go to 7-Eleven tonight because I want to make a video on how the smoothie machine works.
And she's guess.
Okay, I guess we'll go to 7-Eleven.
Or just like everyone else, go to 7-Eleven to get dinner because...
Oh, hell yeah.
I love konbini. Like, they are magical. And North America is lacking so hard.
Seriously lacking. So for context, you know, convenience stores in Japan are on another level, on a completely different level than in North America. Whereas in North America, the convenience store is very much like a, it's just kind of some mostly gross.
Crappy snacks and smokes. Yeah. Yeah,
crappy snacks. Like the, if you get hot food at a convenience store in North America, you, chances are you might get sick.
Yeah.
In Japan, the convenience store is really the a store of convenience.
You can literally live out of one.
Yeah, and it's not like you're eating terribly unhealthy food. The food is fresh. It's relatively healthy. You can get everything there from like food to, you know, your books. Many convenience stores, if they're large enough, will have like housewares, like Muji inside a 7-Eleven.
I should say it's 7 and I Holdings in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why they're probably so much better.
They're incredible. They're incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went, our first hotel literally had a Lawson in it.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, we went to Lawson 7-Eleven, Family Mart literally every day. I'm pretty sure every day.
I think Lawson is the one that I found. So the last time I was in Japan in 2019, I went around to all of the different konbini brands in Hokkaido and tried to find the best mapo tofu.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Lawson might have been the winner. I don't remember, though. It's been too long.
I didn't try the tofu in any of them. I think the Family Mart has this really great chocolate bread. It's just chocolate bread.
Yeah.
With little chocolate chips in it. And, like, I fucking love that. I mean, every single one has their own egg salad sandwich, which is – they're all very, very good. And everything is
something. No matter where I am, I'm never buying an egg salad sandwich.
Really?
Well, you must know this. I don't like foods that have been mashed up with mayo.
No, I know.
I like mayo and I like the ingredients separately. And I like mayo on sandwiches. But as soon as you chop something up and blend mayo through it,
pre-chewed.
I'm having a feeling right now. I'm like, no.
Danielle, I am uncomfortable. Let's not talk about egg salad.
So gross.
Yeah, it honestly, so good. So good.
Do you like your food to be all soft?
You're doing it a disservice, Emma.
I know I am. And I realize that people love it for a reason, but I can't do it. So that's funny
fair.
That you're talking about egg salad sandwiches, because I literally never even considered looking for them when in Japan.
Here's the thing. Like the only reason why it was because I was watching an episode of like No Reservations, like Anthony Bourdain, rest in peace. And yeah. He said that his favorite thing to eat in Japan is the egg salad sandwich at Lawson.
That's funny.
And there is video of him, like, you know, when you do travel shows, like I say this as if I know how to do a travel show. No, when they're producing like travel shows, they always have like local fixers who make sure that like there's always a seat at the restaurant and everything's all set up and everything. And there's like a video of the local producer telling Anthony that the Lawson in the area where they were filming didn't have the egg salad sandwich. And he got visibly upset, like distraught over the lack of egg salad. I wouldn't say it's that hype, but we tried it because of that. And they were all really good. I don't think I had a bad meal at a konbini.
No, I never have. They are very reliable. And there's always so many options.
I think the worst meal I had was at the Pokemon Cafe. Because you don't go there for the meal.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But that was definitely the worst meal we had. But like every other meal was incredible in Japan and relatively inexpensive. I think the thing about being in Japan that made like I had fun doing was actually just like making those short videos and stuff. I want to do more of that for us. Like I want to document the work that we're doing. I want to make short videos about like the games we play and the stuff we like, because I think we're more, Asians Represent is more than just really tackling really, really emotionally and intellectually tough things. We're not just about, you know, responding to racism online, right? We're not just reactionaries. We're not here to like get a rise out of people just for the clicks or whatever. We're here to just kind of like share our love of gaming and, you know, highlight the works of Asian creators. And, you know, we try our best. We can't do it all. But I think one thing that we can guarantee is that everything that we do because we're passionate about it. And I am very excited for us to, you know, talk about things like Sword World. I'm excited for now you, Jeremy, and I to talk about this because it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be fun to talk about like the history of Sword World and the Japanese TRPG industry. Honestly, I want to say TRPG instead of TTRPG because tabletop is one word. And I think we're just so used to saying TTRPG. It also just kind of sounds better, but I think that's my own personal bias. But yeah, I'm just excited. I had so much fun making those shorts, and we're definitely gonna do more at Breakout Con. I think like 90% of it will be Kleorama, but you know.
And if nothing else, you're going to see us Canadians trying to get Drew to try some Canadian things.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be excellent. I mean, we're gonna record an NDNP, you know, at the con. Chances are we'll try to get Drew to eat pea meal bacon, all dress chips, ketchup chips. He had a coffee crisp, I think. Did he at Big Bad Con?
Probably.
Yeah, but we're gonna do it again. We're gonna run him through the gamut of Canadian snacks. And I really look forward to it. But yeah, I'm just happy, you know, that we're talking about things that just aren't heavy, because sometimes it's just hard. And sometimes we're just like not in the mood to be like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk about stuff. And Asians Represent will burn us out if we do that.
It's true. And to be fair, it's usually easy to make travel content if someone goes somewhere.
Yeah, usually easy to make that. I would be like,
my social media presence is up and down, and I just usually do it when I like go to Japan and
sharing
random stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I've also have several years of so many pictures that I was just like, oh, well, do it later. And then it gets a little too far away, and then I just never post it. Mm. So I could go back through my archives at some point, but you know, we'll see.
I mean, I have all of these videos from China that I could do something with. Put them all together. I don't know, but
it sounds like work, dude.
It sounds like work, but like, yeah, it was fun to do that. I've got three more videos that I haven't posted yet. They're all long form. I have one that's literally like a tour of the Yellow Submarine RPG store in Akihabara. I have one that's just like highlights from the Grand Sumo tournament. But I have to figure out how to edit it, because a lot of the videos just like me being like, push him, just me shouting random shit.
It's like the fight version of hit him.
Yeah, that was me like, oh my god. We got really into sumo when we were there. I know,
and
that
I've never gotten to go. I've only ever watched sumo from like ramen restaurants and bars and things.
It was an experience. So like, obviously, like, you and I are like our mutual friends, Tim and Ken. Tim of Bloody Elbow. Bloody Elbow is an MMA blog, website, not a blog, it's a website, like a news site. They're awesome. If you're into combat sports or interested in like the intersection of like politics, finance, and fighting, Bloody Elbow is really cool. If you didn't know, like, I really love combat sports. And oftentimes, Emma and I would stay up late watching UFC and stuff like that. with Tim and our friend Ken. Shout out to Ken. And they basically gave me the rundown on sumo. They were like, okay, if you're in Japan, you have to do sumo. And when I found out that the Grand Sumo Tournament, which happens, I think, only three times a year, was happening in Tokyo during our trip, I think Ken was like, dude, if you don't go, I'm going to be so upset with you. the sentiment was like that. And so I got us tickets. We were barely able to get any. And it just so happened that our hotel was right next to the stadium. Totally unplanned. But seeing sumo live was the wildest thing. It was so cool. I did not realize how big that sport was.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah, I just like it's crazy.
I've never been to a match, but last time I was in Hokkaido, I forget what town it was. Someone will probably know, but I went to a town that had a Yokozuna.
Ooh.
And the entire town was just themed around the greatness of this Yokozuna. I walked into I think I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. Like old school, like elementary schools in Japan, if they don't have enough kids, they close them down. But then they kind of become community centers, as well as the place where a lot of archaeologists pack a bunch of artifacts into.
Lots of bags and boxes.
So I end up in a lot of abandoned schools that are full of artifacts. But I walked into the gym of one of these schools, and it was just these giant poster boards and cutouts and like displays that were all themed for this Yokozuna. And I was just like,
so cool. Huh.
And like my Japanese colleague Katsunori walked in, he's like, oh yeah, he's famous. I was like, yeah,
hey,
I
get famous. Oh yeah, no shit.
I gathered that. He's like, you know, sumo's a big deal. I'm like, yeah.
Japanese
people are the masters of understatement.
They had like at the subway station that was like right by where we were, they had all of the handprints of all the like the main guys.
Yeah.
And huge.
Yeah.
And then within the stadium, they had like pictures of all like the champs. And these pictures were incredible. I'm trying to find one. And it was like, hold up. I gotta get it. Cause it was like the best thing I've ever seen. The most stoic looking sumo wrestler and the most stoic looking sumo wrestler. And the dude is like, oh, come on, focus camera. And the dude is holding a sword. And it's just so fucking rad. and people like were flocking to the stadium. There were crowds, like dozens and dozens of people waiting outside. Lots of old ladies with action cameras. Like ladies with like 3D camera, like 3D cameras or like GoPros waiting to just see these sumo wrestlers.
Yeah.
And It was an intense being in there. There was like so much. It's so interesting, like how much ritual is involved in sumo, and the match itself can last seconds.
Yeah.
To say, we became fans.
Yeah. So like sumo wrestling, you're familiar with the term Goshintai because of magic at this point. in this day and age, Yokozuna and those really top tier sumo wrestlers are the only ones to be considered like human or living Goshintai, which is partly why they get to wear the belts, the big rope belts and the paper danglies. Like that's because they are considered to be essentially like housing for important spirits and such, which is really cool. And also partly why I tell people, don't follow anime and don't put those big rope belts and things on your characters randomly, because people in Japan will do it, but maybe you should.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't understand the cultural meaning behind these objects or these garments. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've done a whole episode on that already. I forget which one, but we've certainly talked about it.
That's one of those we've talked about.
One of those things, but I mean, maybe we should just have a video on cultural appropriation, although I feel like a series of videos.
Yeah.
Eventually. We'll figure it out. But yeah, sumo was a lot of fun. We ended up like just watching the tournament on TV when we were in Kyoto, just to be like, oh, we're so tired. Let's just watch highlights. And
I watch a lot of baseball when I'm hanging out in my hotel, but also I miss Japanese TV so much.
Japanese TV is incredible.
I love Japanese it. TV is amazing. I love all the slice of life, traveling around the country, just doing random things kind of shows. I love them.
It's like the kind of TV show I wish I could star in, just like in a little van driving across the country and just doing cool shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Much.
I saw one where guys were trying to find the smallest restaurant in Tokyo.
The smallest restaurant in Tokyo.
They were just going to the smallest restaurants and seeing what kind of food they do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of like small restaurants and like tiny spaces in Japan, I'm so obsessed with the Daihatsu Hi-Jet, the van those like really micro vans in Japan. I'm so obsessed. Like I bought like a little toy one and like I have so many pictures of them on my phone because I was like, oh my God, these are so cool.
Really good delivery vehicles in Japan, which is a weird thing to say, but you know what I mean. I love all the little moving vans with the that company that's like the mama cat, carrying the kitten.
Yes. Yeah. it's the mama cat carry the kitten by the neck.
Yeah. Yeah. You see those all over.
All
over. Yeah, the little cube vans that are like smaller than a North American car. I love those.
I feel like they would be unsafe on our roads. I don't know how they'd handle in an accident.
Some have been imported. You see them every once in a while.
Yeah, you see them. I've seen a whole bunch on like Facebook Marketplace and stuff. They're cheaper than like regular cars. You can buy one like the Japanese, like the micro pickup trucks. You can buy them for like $11,000. I mean, like that's not cheap. That like it's a lot of money, but it's cheaper than
in
a car.
A vehicle, yeah.
Yeah, and you can buy one for like $11,000. But yeah, they're... We had such a good time. We're glad to be back. We missed everyone, but
yeah,
it was just nice to reset.
For sure.
Yeah, really nice reset. That said, my throat is killing me. My throat is killing me.
Should probably stop talking then.
Yeah, eventually. But I wanted to ask you, Emma. In terms of like the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
If folks have suggestions, if folks have like, you know, requests for, obviously we won't be able to fulfill them and act on them immediately. But if folks have requests for like videos or definitions or things that are unclear, what's probably the best place? And like, do they DM you on Twitter? Do they post under suggestions in our Discord server? What do you think?
Yeah. Discord server is probably the best place. I don't always get notifications on my phone from things like Twitter or Instagram or anything like that. So best place is going to be in our Discord server, either under, say, like show discussion or, yeah, suggestions.
Okay.
Either way.
Yeah. That's either way, you'll see it. Tag Emma.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, someone will look at the YouTube comments if
I got
anything
that.
Comes up. Yeah. And we'll pick up on them.
Sweet, and we'll make a list.
15 or more terms that I already kind of have in the works, but
get a backlog.
See. Yeah, if you want Professor to go into teaching mode, like just drop me some words and suggestions, and I'll figure it out.
Well, we'll make that. I'm really excited that you're doing that. It's just in general, I think. I'm really grateful for, you know, everyone in Asians Rep kind of just like being there. I mean, it's been things are tough and it's nice to have other people who like are like-minded and making content alongside. It's like a nice team effort. And speaking of which, one thing to note on the note of like Twitter, the Asians Represent Twitter is just going to be run by Jeremy and I now. So anything related to basically like content announcements on Asians Rep, that's me. If we're signal boosting stuff, if we're tweeting about interesting things, it'll be Jeremy and I. But yeah, we'll have more time zone coverage too, with Jeremy there. So we found that it was really hard because I think there are a lot of people have the expectation or the perception that Asians Represent is this like giant organization, and I think that speaks a lot to the quality of our content, but also like on social media it's just one person. So when you send us really really hurtful stuff, it was all going straight to me, and I'm trying my best, but I'm also, you know, trying not to be chronically online, and so I was missing things on Twitter. I was trying to respond to all notifications, but at the same time, it was harder to signal boost stuff if I'm trying to take care of my own mental health and not be on that hell site. So two of us are going to be on that hell site for the Asians Represent again. That's Jeremy and I. But I think it'll be better for us. And I think having more perspectives into what we signal boost is going to be really important. So yeah, I'm hyped about that. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So again, if you want to maybe hear something from Emma on a definitions video or something, you can let her know, tag her in our Discord server under show discussions or suggestions. My personal recommendation might actually be suggestions because it's a lower volume channel. So it'll be easier for us to kind of track it. Might not get lost. I don't know. What do you think, Emma?
I would say as a mod in the space that suggestions is about suggestions for the Discord space.
Okay,
itself.
That's fair. We'll do it in show discussions then.
Well, look,
I'm not a mod on the server because I was told that, Daniel, you're doing too much. Step the fuck back.
I will say every time I release a definition video and it gets posted, like the announcement gets posted and it goes into show discussion, I will end every episode saying, like, tell us what you'd like to see. And you can just respond to that.
Yeah. And if you aren't in our Discord server, you can join our Discord server.
It's open.
There will be links in the show description. But if you're just listening, discord.gg/AZNSrepresent to join our server. It's absolutely free. If you want to ask, you know, specific questions, the best way to do this is actually become a patron, because we have a patron mailbox, like we have an entire section that's just for patrons. If you want to get involved in a lot of the wacky stuff that Drew and I talk about on No Dice, No Problem.
If you want to prompt some of that wacky stuff, yeah.
Yeah, if you really want to prompt that stuff, you got to be a patron for that one. I look forward to doing No Dice, No Problem. We even had, Emma had an idea, is if I'm away, if I'm sick and we need to put out an episode, it's just No Daniel, No Problem. So looking,
we bring in a guest.
We bring in a guest. Yeah, I thought it was going to be you. If
yeah, okay. I will do that. But we can also mix it up and bring in other guests. The main point is there's no Daniel.
The main point is there's no Daniel, and it's no problem. No problem. I love the idea of like the graphic just putting like an X on the cartoon version of myself and a really poorly cut out photo.
Yeah, just slap on there.
Right on there. I think that'd be hilarious. But yeah, we're going to come back with a new NDMP this month. Got to coordinate things with Drew. So if you do have questions, we will put a call out on the Discord server for folks. But again, even unprompted, put them in there. We will sort of like collect them all and answer them. And we mean it. We will answer them.
One day, eventually.
No, we try to go through all of them. We're starting to see themes with the different types of questions people ask, and we love it. but yeah, that said, I am getting more and more hoarse and robotic by the second. I want to thank you folks for joining us for this episode back. Thank you for your patience while I was away on vacation. Thank you for all of your feedback on like on the new videos that we're doing on our YouTube channel. We are going to have so much more. I'm so excited that we're back. Stay tuned for short form audio on the podcast, which is not something that we expected to do, but we will be doing because Emma puts all the effort into making them. So really excited about that. Other than that, Emma, do you have anything else to say before we thank our amazing patrons? We have some like awesome patrons, some incredible people like Metal Weave Games, Valorous Games, who are like most honorable times two Epic Impact, Michelle, Stefan, who really keep the lights on Asians Represent. So we are super grateful for all of your support and the support of all of our other patrons. Doesn't matter what tier you're on. If it's a free tier, a paid tier, we're just happy you're here with us. Asians Represent is back. I was just about to say, we're never taking a break. No, we're back. We've got a couple more episodes left in this season. I believe our season finale may fall on Breakout Con.
So that's actually be appropriate.
Yeah, like, so like we've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
I know
five,
it's
six,
not fun
seven.
Carrying your recording equipment, but at Big Bad we did have a little portable audio setup.
Yeah, we had a little station.
I guess it's not as bad because it's in Toronto. So
yeah, it's in Toronto, and like Sarah will drive me and drop me off because I'm a child. No,
I'm also happy to carry some of the stuff around during the day, but we can do a recording, a lobby recording.
Yeah, we're going to do a lobby con. I think we could set up a little sign. But I know there are going to be a lot of folks who really only get to see at Breakout Con. So we'll do tons of interviews there. So if you're an Asian creator and you want to talk about what you're making, hit us up. We're going to do tons of stuff at Breakout Con. I just did the math. So this is going to be episode 82 of the podcast. So we've got three more episodes left for this season of Asians Represent. So next episode, we're going to talk about yet. But we got three more episodes culminating in Breakout Con 2024. As usual, No Dice, No Problem is coming to you monthly. We try really hard to do it twice a month, but sometimes, you know, we have stuff that we have to take care of outside of the podcast. But we will always come to you with Asians Represent content every single month. The main podcast, No Dice, No Problem, all on a single feed. On top of that, we now get bonus content on YouTube thanks to Emma and the Words Are Hard series. Words are so hard. We've said hard so many times this episode.
Hard.
And yeah, we're going to have that also on our audio feed. So subscribe to Asians Represent on YouTube and wherever pods are cast, because we've got a lot of stuff for you. And we're so excited for you to be here with us in 2024. And yeah, that said, we'll call it an episode. Emma, thanks for sitting with me and keeping me company on a Friday night.
Random chat about how we love konbini and Japanese nerd stuff.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, one of the things that I bought, because we went to the Godzilla store. There's a Godzilla store. Yeah. And I got the new Godzilla minus one Bandai figure. And it's so long.
Yeah, where's my Godzilla at? I have one that's based off of one of the older Toho models, and he's also very long.
And I was just like, I had this long Godzilla figure, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to break it. How are we going to, like, take this back home? And it was
you just wrap very, some very stuff stressful. Around it, you're fine.
Yeah, I had glass
and stuff back. I've never broken anything.
I had like a neck pillow, and I basically wrapped it around Godzilla, and then I stuck it in like a packing cube for clothing, and then put like socks and underwear all around it to kind of keep it safe.
And it ends up looking like him wearing that, like,
it looks like he's wearing it, just like in the movie. Just like in the movie. Yeah, he's
like his flotation device.
God, we should have watched Godzilla in Japan. We didn't watch that in Japan.
Well, saw it here.
Opportunity. We went to see the Spy Family movie instead.
Oh, there you go.
That was cute. Oh my God. Last thing before we hang up. Japanese movie theaters. What the heck? So much better.
Yeah.
That said, thank you folks for joining us for Asians Represent. We could keep talking about this shit because we love nerd shit. We'll see you next time. And if you have suggestions for episodes, whether it be for Words Are Hard, I never thought I'd say that. If you, I know what to say. If you find words hard, let us know which ones. You can let us know. Oh, my God. Do you like that? Yeah, is that
you
good,
Emma? You're in charge of naming my own series. This is what you're going to get.
Yeah, this wasn't my decision. I asked Emma, I said, what are we going to call this? And Emma said, words are hard. So if there are words that you find hard. Oh, my God. I'm gonna get through this. If you find If there are words that you find hard, let us know on Discord. You can go to the show discussions channel on the Asians Represent Discord server and let us know which words you want us to cover. That said, if you want to watch those videos, head to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AZNSrepresent. You'll find all sorts of great content there, from podcast highlights to full-on episodes. The last episode that we have up there is actually episode 81. Where Emma and I talked to Joe DeSimone of Asmodee Entertainment about the return and future of L5R. I'm really happy that we didn't get crucified for that. People were pretty positive.
That's the L5R community.
They're just so chill. They're just so chill. Like, all the comments were just like, people were like, with the exception of like a couple folks were like, I'm just glad there's more L5R.
Yeah, I think
people were just really hyped to have more L5R.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, and I think that's a big difference between L5R and the D&D community, which we did talk about on that episode, episode 81. So once you're done listening to this episode, and if you haven't listened to that one, go back, listen to episode 81, The Future of L5R, with Emma, myself, and Joe DeSimone, our wonderful guest, who will 100% be back on the pod. I'm going to make him, because he's a good friend of mine. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to ask him to do another episode on the OSR.
Yeah.
Another, actually, maybe we'll do an episode on the history of TTRPGs, because he and I have had a really good conversation about that. So yeah, we're going to do a ton of new stuff. Let us know. So again, if there are words that you find hard, let Emma know on our Discord server. If you have questions that you want us to answer, anything and everything, Drew and I will answer it on No Dice, No Problem, the best award adjacent podcast that we got there. And then, of course, if you want to, you know, learn with us, explore the world of Asian representation in gaming, you know, stick with Asians Represent. See you next time, folks.
Welcome to Character Creation Cast, a show where we create and discuss characters, the best part of role-playing games, with guests using their favorite systems. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter.
And I'm your other host, Amelia Antrim. Join us as we sit down with game designers, podcasters, and fans of games as we dive into learning about different RPGs through the lens of character creation. It's a combination of character building, player advice, game design insights, and even a little bit of fan fiction for a different game every month. We tackle a variety of new and old games, both well-known and indie-produced titles.
We learn how creating characters can tell us a lot about the games themselves. Check us out today anywhere you can get podcasts or on the OneShot Podcast Network at oneshotpodcast.com.